Tonight, immigration deadlock, a devastating defeat for the president's plan to shield up to 4 million undocumented immigrants from deportation. Tonight, what it means for so many families who came out of the shadows. One-on-one, my new interview with Donald Trump after his blistering attack on Hillary Clinton. He now admits he's not really sure about some of those claims he made, including whether she was asleep during the Benghazi attack. Movie theater hostage crisis, a mass gunman holding dozens, chaos and panic, fears of another mass attack as police storm the cinema. And like father, like son, an amazing dad's permanent show of support for his little boy, inspiring millions all around the world. Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. A crushing disappointment today for the Obama White House and the president's go-it-alone immigration strategy. His executive action, a controversial move to keep some 4 million undocumented immigrants from being deported, first ran aground in an appeals court. And we learned today that's where it comes to rest after a deadlocked U.S. Supreme Court announced it was unable to rule, raising questions about the limits of presidential authority and leaving millions of immigrant families with questionable futures. Justice correspondent Pete Williams has details.
The ruling is a huge blow to Rolando Martinez and Isabel Aguilar and more than 4 million more adults like them who came here illegally but whose children were born here and plan to stay.
They will have opportunity to be whatever they want to do in their life.
President Obama wanted to let those adults stay too and get work permits, but lower courts blocked his immigration policy. And today, the eight-member Supreme Court tied 4-4, unable to decide whether the president had the authority to order such a sweeping change. That leaves the program unenforceable, a disappointment to Hilaria Bonilla of El Salvador, whose daughter was born here.
My situation continued the same thing. I came to this country. So I'm still waiting for something positive for my life, for my family.
The administration will not be moving to deport those here illegally if they don't commit crimes, but they cannot apply for work permits.
I think it is heartbreaking for the millions of immigrants who made their lives here, who've raised families here, who hope for the opportunity to work, pay taxes, serve in our military, and more fully contribute to this country we all love.
Because a tie doesn't decide anything, the ruling says nothing about presidential power, though Republicans acted like it did.
And it's a win in our fight to restore the separation of powers. Presidents don't write laws, Congress writes laws.
The program's future will be a political, not a legal one. Hillary Clinton says she'd fight to keep it. Donald Trump says he'd abandon it. The court also today gave a big boost to affirmative action in college admissions. It upheld the program at the University of Texas at Austin and said affirmative action makes classes more diverse and educational plus. Lester.
Pete Williams at the Supreme Court, thank you. A day after his blistering speech attacking Hillary Clinton's honesty, Donald Trump sat down with NBC News today where he continued to press that attack. In our conversation in his New York apartment, the presumptive Republican nominee also responded to our reporting last night that found some of his claims about Clinton in that speech are inaccurate or unsupported. You delivered a speech yesterday. You went hard after Hillary Clinton. She says your speech was full of conspiracy theories and that you attacked her because you had no answers on substance. What's your reaction?
I attacked her because she has been terrible at what she does, whether it's Libya, whether it's the great migration that you see, which is largely her and certainly her and Obama. She's done a horrible job. You look all over Europe, it's a disaster what's taken place. And she'll be a terrible president. So the attack is an attack really on the fact that she will be a terrible president.
You made some very bold claims about her that didn't stand up when we put it.
Well, you don't know if they stand up. What claim are you talking
about?
Well,
let's talk about your claim that she was asleep during the Benghazi attack.
He was left helpless to die as Hillary Clinton soundly slept in her bed.
That Ambassador Stevens was asking.
Were you with her?
She has testified before the committee that she wasn't asleep. It happened during the daytime. There's no evidence that she was asleep.
It happened all during the day, and Doria was going on for a long period of time.
But I guess what I'm asking, what are you basing it on?
And she was asleep at the wheel. Whether she was sleeping or not, who knows if she was sleeping.
She said she was sleeping.
She might have been sleeping. Why? Because she put out a tweet. Somebody said she put out a tweet, therefore she wasn't sleeping. Nobody else could put out a tweet.
So you stand by what you said.
I can tell you this, whether she was sleeping or not, and she might have been sleeping, it was a disaster. It was a horrific disaster, and it was on her watch.
You also made the claim that her email, personal email server, had been hacked.
Her server was easily hacked by foreign governments.
Suggesting that suggesting that she would be compromised as president. What evidence do you have?
Well, first of all, she shouldn't have had a personal server, okay? She shouldn't have had it. It's illegal. What she did is illegal. Now, she might not be judged that way because, you know, we have a rigged system. But what she did is illegal. She shouldn't have had a personal
server. But is there any evidence that it was hacked other than routine phishing attacks?
I think I read that and I heard it, and somebody that also gave me that information. I will report back to you. I'll give it to you.
But you said it with such certainty yesterday.
I don't know if certainty. Probably she was hacked. You know, you can be hacked and not know it, but she probably was hacked. The fact is, she should not have it. She should not have had a personal server.
You've been critical of Hillary Clinton for taking Wall Street money. Will you take Wall Street money?
I'm taking very little. I'll tell you where we're doing.
But you will take some?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see who comes up. I mean,
but you won't take a pledge not to take Wall Street.
Let me tell you differently. I have turned down millions of dollars from people who I don't really want to give me money. Okay. She's taken tremendous amounts of Wall Street money. But I put up my own money. Now we've started raising money, and I've gone to different events. And again, a lot of money is being raised for the Republican Party. I think you will be really surprised when you see the next report.
Do you plan to debate her?
Of course I do.
Three
I look
times?
Forward to it.
You commit to three debates?
I think it's three debates, yeah.
And you plan on doing them?
Sure.
Are you preparing for the debates now?
I think my whole life has been in preparation, frankly. But yeah, sure, I'll be preparing like everybody else.
You made an appeal yesterday in your speech to Bernie Sanders voters to come over to Team Trump. You're asking people who support a democratic socialist to come over to you, a symbol of capitalism.
That's true. You know why?
Who just told me that he may or may not take Wall Street money.
Okay. Let me just tell you why. Because I'm no fan of Bernie. But Bernie Sanders is right about trade. I mean, he's right. Now, the difference between me and him is I'll do something about it. In other words, I will actually do something about it and take those horrible deals and make them great deals for the country.
Part of our conversation here in New York today, Mr. Trump leaves tonight for Scotland on a short non-political trip. After more than 24 hours, Democrats ended their historic sit-in on the floor of the House. They demanded action on gun control, vowing the fight will go on, while Republicans dismissed their protest as little more than an attention-grabbing stunt. We get details from NBC News national correspondent Peter Alexander.
Exhausted but energized House Democrats today declaring victory, even as their unprecedented protest for gun control votes failed. Civil rights icon John Lewis spearheading the effort.
We're going to continue to push, to pull, to stand up, and if necessary, to sit down.
The revolt lasting nearly 26 hours, Democrats commandeering the House floor, broadcasting their demands live on social media. A chaotic scene. Republican House Speaker Paul Ryan trying to restore order.
The chair wishes to make an announcement.
On the floor, a fierce confrontation.
Radical Islam killed its people.
Democrats breaking into song.
We are someday.
Their voices echoing outside the Capitol late into the night.
You must never, ever give up or give in or give out.
Ryan muscling through the rest of the week's work, abruptly adjourning the House until July 5th, and today blasting Democrats.
This is about a publicity stunt and now a fundraising scheme.
The daughter of slain Sandy Hook principal Dawn Hawksprung challenging Ryan, would love to talk re-political stunts. Today, a glimmer of hope for compromise in the Senate. Lawmakers voting to allow more debate on a bipartisan plan to block gun sales to people on the no-fly list.
But for that proposal to pass, more Republican senators are going to need to support a bill that the NRA opposes. And even if that happens, the Republican-controlled House remains unlikely to go along. Lester?
All right, Peter Alexander, tonight, thank you. A state of emergency has just been declared in two West Virginia counties where heavy rains are causing devastating floods, rock slides, and mudslides. Much of Richwood, a city about 2 hours east of Charleston, is underwater. The storms also took down trees and power lines, knocking out service to tens of thousands. There is more tragic news tonight in the search for a family missing at sea, vanishing on their sailboat off the coast of Florida. word of another sad discovery as relatives continue to hold out hope for a miracle. NBC's Gabe Gutierrez has late details.
Today, off the Florida coast, a grim search and a difficult discovery. The Coast Guard finding a second body and a bucket filled with birth certificates, a cell phone, and a GPS unit.
We continue to be hopeful that we'll be able to find the last two persons alive.
Ace Kimberly and his three teenage children had been living in a 29-foot sailboat in Sarasota for months. They left for Fort Myers early Sunday, a 75-mile Father's Day trip to visit his brother and work on boat repairs. When they hit a storm and rough seas, Ace made a frantic call to his brother. No word since.
They were good people. They were good people.
The first body was recovered late Wednesday. A family member tells NBC News it's 17-year-old Rebecca Kimberly.
The family's just grief-stricken, devastated, just coping.
Sadie Diltz is the girl's aunt.
Feels like I lost one of my own kids.
Then, around 2:30 this morning, a glimmer of hope. Authorities briefly spotting what could have been a white flare.
Whether it was a flare or not, we're not sure. We treat it like it was.
But tonight, that hope is fading as the frantic search continues for the remaining family members, now lost at sea for 4 days. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, St. Petersburg, Florida.
The third police officer to be tried in a case that sparked riots in Baltimore has been found not guilty. That clears him of the most serious charges in the death of Freddie Gray last year. And it's a big blow to the prosecution, which still has four more trials ahead as part of this case. We get more from NBC's Ron Mott.
The Baltimore officer who prosecutors allege took Freddie Gray on a deadly rough ride in a police van after his arrest last year walked away from court today cleared of all charges, including second-degree depraved heart murder. The Gray family attorney tonight reacting to the decision.
We still have an unaddressed police brutality problem, not just in this city, where very little has changed, but in this nation.
The verdict extends what many see as a losing streak for the state. Officer Caesar Goodson Jr., the van driver, acquitted. Officer Edward Nero, acquitted. Officer William Porter, mistrial after a jury failed to reach a verdict.
I absolutely think that the state's attorney's office should have at least a gut check moment today and decide, is it worth going forward?
Small groups of demonstrators voiced disapproval of Judge Barry Williams' ruling today. But there were no signs of the violence that rocked the city in the spring of last year. Instead, signs of moving forward. A burned-down CVS, the epicenter of the unrest, has since reopened.
The police department saw a leadership change at the top after widespread criticism of efforts to contain the rioting, and critics say even more reforms are needed.
The Baltimore State's attorney has said she will not comment until all the cases are tried. Ron Mott, NBC News, Baltimore.
Now to a developing story out of Mississippi, where authorities are hunting for two murder suspects they say pulled off a daring escape from jail by digging through a brick wall. It happened at the Hinds County Jail in Raymond, Mississippi. The sheriff tells local media the jail is not up to standards. Overseas tonight, a dramatic cliffhanger with the power to send shockwaves around the world. The impact felt right here in the U.S. One of our biggest global partners, Great Britain, is holding a national referendum to decide whether to leave the European Union. It has divided that country like few issues before. Polls have now closed. They're counting the votes, and NBC's Bill Neely has the high drama from London.
It's been passionate.
It's about taking back control of our democracy, isn't it?
And patriotic.
We aren't any old country. We are a special country.
The question, whether to stay in the European Union, the world's biggest trading bloc, in or out?
In.
Out.
But it's not just about Britain. If it votes leave, a stock market dip may impact you.
Not just on the UK, but on Europe and therefore on us. If you have a 401k, it's going to impact that.
It's one reason the president came, to call on Britain to remain.
And the United Kingdom is at its best when it's helping to lead a strong Europe.
The economy and history a battleground. The Prime Minister invoking Winston Churchill.
But he didn't quit. He didn't quit on Europe.
But down at the Churchill Arms pub, many want to quit.
A lot of English still think we've got empire, but we are broke.
It's very close.
It's very, very close.
You wouldn't put money on it?
No.
The Leave campaign has been accused of running an anti-immigrant message. and copying the playbook of Donald Trump. He says Britain should leave.
I would say, what do you need it for?
He flies in tomorrow, in time for the result.
Well, the voting is now over. The first regional results are coming through, but it's still too close to call. If Britain were to leave the European Union, it would be a massive shock to Europe, to the markets, and to the White House, Lester.
Bill Neely on an important night in Europe. Thank you. Still ahead tonight, panic inside a movie theater when a gunman storms inside and takes hostages. Police on the move, rushing to the scene. Also, a dad's touching support, show of support for his son that's made him a viral sensation. We're back now with a hostage crisis that raised alarms around the world today. A mass gunman holding people in a movie theater in Germany as heavily armed police stormed inside. So many fearing the worst. NBC's Keir Simmons has details.
Heavily armed special forces surrounding a movie theater today. An assailant holed up with multiple hostages. A terrifying 3 hours. Fears of another terrorist attack unfolding. Theatergoers running from the complex where children's movies have been showing. Witnesses reporting a masked man burst in, firing a weapon. Finally, police storming the building, firing tear gas. Incredibly, the only casualty, the attacker himself. They were able to locate the offender and hostages, a police spokeswoman says. The attacker was fatally wounded. Initial fears were of an Orlando-style attack in Germany. Europe on high alert after November's Paris massacre, where 130 died, most killed when a gunman burst into the Bataclan music theater. While in Brussels, 32 people murdered in March. Germany has not seen an attack on the same scale, but feared it would be targeted. The motives behind today's apparent shooting are still unclear. Some reports say the assailant seemed confused and had a non-lethal weapon. Still enough to spread panic and fear in a movie theater. Keir Simmons, NBC News, London.
We are back in a moment with the Marines correcting a 7-decade-old mistake about this iconic World War II image. A major settlement tonight of the emissions scandal engulfing Volkswagen. A source tells the Associated Press the company has agreed to pay $10.2 billion to settle claims that it cheated on emissions tests. Owners would reportedly get between $1,000 and $7,000, depending on their car's age. Rock legends Led Zeppelin have won a lawsuit that accused them of stealing their hit, Stairway to Heaven. The suit alleged that Zeppelin lifted Stairway's famous intro riff from another song called Taurus by the band Spirit. A federal jury found otherwise after hearing from witnesses that included Zeppelin members Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. The Marine Corps now acknowledges that for decades it has wrongly identified one of the men in this iconic World War II photo. An investigation into this picture of the 1945 flag raising at Iwo Jima found that the man believed to be Navy Corpsman John Bradley is actually Marine Private First Class Harold Schultz. But Schultz didn't live to see the correction. He died in 1995. When we come back, the image that's touching so many, a father's show, moving show of solidarity with his young son. Finally, tonight, it's the image that's moved millions on social media. A dad who got a very permanent symbol of his love and support for his son, who's already been through so much at such a young age. Our Rahema Ellis has their touching story.
What most kids take for granted, 8-year-old Gabriel Marshall takes to heart in his Kansas yard.
Oh, yeah. We can play tag. We can jump on a trampoline.
It's a dramatic change from just 2 years ago when Gabriel was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
I recall just feeling like my stomach was being torn out of my body.
We had fluids today.
Gabriel underwent exhaustive chemotherapy, then surgery that left him with a glaring scar.
It was scary, and it was kind of embarrassing to me because I really didn't like it when people were staring at me.
He told us that, you know, he felt like a monster. To hear your child say that, it just breaks your heart, because to me, he is the most beautiful thing.
Worried for his son's life and his self-esteem, he shaved his head and got a tattoo to match Gabriel's scar.
I said, if people want to stare, I said, they can stare at both of us then.
It makes me and my dad look like we're twins.
A picture so touching, it won a Best Bald Dad competition, sponsored by a foundation for kids with cancer. Gabriel is now in remission and has plans for the future.
I want to be a doctor when I grow up.
No doubt he'll remember the very best medicine is a dad who'll do anything for you. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New York.
And that's going to do it for us on this Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.